Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on another haunting edition of Real Ghost Stories Online, what should have been a night of peaceful slumber turned into an evening coated in fear as one listener comes face to face with an unexplained entity in the safety of their bedroom. Did these frightening encounters ever cease? And was this innocent individual ever able to find peace in bed again? The Aztec question and much more today on a thrilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We love hearing your stories. If you want to be a part of our EPP community, that's Extra Podcast People, there you get access to our full archive of stories, almost 10 years of shows there. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. All of it commercial free. You get a bonus episode every single week. You get access to that whole archive of bonus episodes on top of the normal episodes. Ebook, audiobook, it's a lot of stuff. If you like ghost stories, you can binge away on our premium content, all ad-free. Do it through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. Two different ways to get signed up and check that all out. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the show. What is going on?
That was just kind of interesting. Last night I was watching an episode of a TV show that I check out occasionally called Kindred Spirits.
Yeah.
And they typically, all the stuff that they do is in New England. For whatever reason, they live up there. It's probably easy for them to get to and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But last night or this past week, the episode was out of Arkansas. And it was a theater called the Rialto. And I can't, it's a town with the letter M in it. And I wanted to write it down and I didn't. But I was kind of wondering if you, like, what part of the state do you live in? Just like general area.
I'm the very northwest corner, like very northwest.
Gotcha. I think this was further south or whatever. And so then I thought, well, I'll just look up Rialto Theater. There's got to only be like one in the state and there's like 20.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there's a lot. There's some in El Dorado, Arkansas, and where's this other place? Race and Spring Streets in Searcy. So, I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Wow. No, there's, I have not heard of that one. I recently, I bought a whole bunch of books, you know, those things with pages that you turn.
right.
Because I still like them. And I went to, I was like at the, I don't know, Barnes & Noble or something. And they had a whole section on like local ghost hunting or ghost haunts or haunting places. And I bought a big stack of them. And, you know, they've been sitting on my nightstand now for about 4 months.
And so, just not getting to it?
I haven't gotten to it yet. But I do want to, because I want to learn more about like what's locally around here. I know a couple little things here and there, but I don't really know a lot about the haunts of Arkansas or in my specific area. But there's a lot of history here. I mean, especially the battlefields, those are kind of your, you know, go-tos. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of, you know, very interesting history all over this place.
There was the thing about this theater was apparently it was mob. There was a lot of mob action in this small town.
Uh-huh.
And so the alleyway behind the theater was known as like Death Alley or something like that, because a lot of like that kind of stuff went on behind the theater. So,
oh, wow.
It was an interesting episode. Very interesting.
You don't think of that sort of stuff like around Arkansas, you know, but cities, you know, any populated area really had a lot of that stuff. I guess it's even more kind of shocking when you're talking about a smaller city too.
It was definitely a small town, kind of one of those towns where it's almost a little creepy. It's so small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are interesting. There's several of them around. There's a couple on the way from here towards Wichita. And there's one a lot of historic buildings. I'd love to just get out of my car and walk around, but I don't feel safe. And it's just a very, very small town. But it's like, I think they look at you like, you ain't from these parts. And then you get shot, you know,
right,
made into soup. So I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, trying to pull it up here. Hey, Real Ghost Stories Online family. I've been listening to you guys for almost 3 years. Just renewed my EPP subscription through Patreon for both Real Ghost Stories and The Grave Talks. I have a couple short experiences that I'd like to try and tell you about. I'll start with the first time that I believe that I experienced something. Something paranormal. I'm not sure if this was from a dream or if this was someone standing there at the end of my bed. My mom and dad converted the attic to a large bedroom and playroom. I was about 10, and I was woken up and looked straight ahead. In the middle of the room, there was a boy standing there looking at me with a red shirt and blue shorts and pants. I remember having no expression, a somber look on his face. I blinked, and he was gone. I did tell my family about this, and they brushed it off like I was dreaming. My sister will still tease me about the ghost boy in our room. No one still believed me. A few years later, we changed rooms around that time and got my parents' old bedroom, and they moved upstairs. I was a teenager and had a horrible time sleeping at night. I swear something sat on my bed. I felt this side of the bed dip down like someone had just sat on this side of the bed, but no one was there that I could see. I don't remember what exactly happened after that, if they got up or if I fell asleep. I have no idea who this might have been, as all my grandparents were still alive. I had not experienced death on a personal level at this point in my life. My grandmother passed away while I was in college. The term had just ended and I was home, as we did not expect her to last much longer. All the other grandkids went up to see her one last time. My heart could not take it, so I stayed home and mowed the grass for my dad, as was his mother, trying to help him in some way. 2 a.m. in the morning, I woke up from a deep sleep, looked at the clock, thought about what was going on in my college town, smiled, and was simply happy. I drifted off back to sleep with a feeling of peace. The next morning, my aunt stopped by the house to let us know that my nanny passed away last night around 2 a.m. I know with all my heart that she visited me before going to heaven. Although I cannot bring myself to visit her one last time, she visited me. That is a memory that I'll hold on to forever. I have a few more stories revolving around my daughter and my husband's abilities and experiences that I'll send in later. Really enjoying the adventures that you and Harper take. The app you use on your phone and REMPod are just fascinating. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Thoughts on that?
Cool. I always love the story where somebody's in bed and they feel somebody sit down on the bed. That's like a really frightening thing, mm-hmm. You know, because you might hear a voice in another area of the house, or, you know, feel like people walking in the hallway or whatever, but you're in bed. It's supposed to be the safe haven. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it moves. You feel somebody sit down in your bed. That's like one of the creepiest things that can happen to you.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. And the thing is, that's a funny thing, because I had that. I've said the story before of my cat when I was a kid. I'd feel this cat on the end of my bed, and I never even thought anything of it. The cat was dead, but I just thought it was my own memory. I just thought it was like muscle memory or something, like thinking I'm feeling this, but never really putting the pieces together going, maybe it's my ghost cat. And when I look back on it, I think it was. I think it was that, because it was very distinct and it was only there in that room at that place. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know why the ghost cat even wanted to come back to me, because I was really kind of mean to that cat when I was little.
Well, maybe it was planning on getting back at you somehow.
Yeah.
Same thing happened when I lost my dog. One night, not long after that, I swear I heard him walk in the room, mm-hmm. and jump up on the bed, and nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there was the moment too, because I'd feel the cat on the end of the bed, and then I'd wake up and I'd feel like there was these two furry things on my neck, like trying to push down a lot with a lot of pressure. And I could hear this like kind of growling sound. And I think that might have been the cat trying to kill me coming back. But no, my parents, they had a cat that passed away about a year ago or so. And they could hear this. They said they swore they heard the cat kind of walking around on the linoleum kitchen flooring.
Yeah.
That the kind of scratch sounds with the claws. And this is one that I always found kind of funny. They said they also they swore they heard the cat coughing up a hairball.
Oh, I remember you telling me that story. That's right. And yeah.
I'm like, really? If all the things when you die when you're a cat, you still got to deal with the hairballs? Like, that sucks. That really sucks. Like, if there's going to be a perk of being a dead cat, that would be like one of them. But
very likely some sort of residual energy going on there.
I would guess so, because it existed for a couple days and then it was gone.
Yeah.
But I guess my question about that would be, okay, if it's residual energy, why does the animal have to be deceased for that to happen, or the person to be deceased for us to experience something like that?
I think maybe our senses are just more heightened when they're gone. So like if they heard that in the middle of the night, they would just expect that it was the cat doing it, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like maybe some of these things have been going on, but you just think it's the cat.
Right. You're not really focusing on it because the cat's around. It's probably horking up a hairball someplace.
Yeah.
But when it's gone and you're hearing that stuff, we're experiencing those things, your sense of understanding is maybe a little bit more heightened, I think.
So is it residual when you hear the cat coughing up the hairball? Then you go and think, oh, God, this is going to be really disgusting and there's nothing there.
I would think it might be residual.
Interesting.
Or the cat re-ate it. You know, that happens.
That does happen too. Yeah, that's true. They can't help themselves. I know. I feel the same way sometimes. It's like, I really liked that burrito and from Taco Bell, and it's really late and I've been drinking. And it's like, should we have it? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No. But of course, I do still crave Taco Bell late at night. It's like this. And I got to say, Grubhub is a horrible, horrible thing.
Absolutely.
Because it used to be like, oh, I'd have to drive there. And that made it stop. That made you not do it. And now it's like, I can just press a couple buttons. $5? Sure. I'll pay that to have that delivered right now. I know. Yeah. It's a bad idea. Let's go to another letter. It says, I've only recently started listening to your program and your podcast. I heard one of your episodes from a little while ago questioning whether there is such a thing as pet ghosts. Hey, this is funny. This is how the show works. Again, not planned. It just seems to all kind of flow. Here is my story involving a dog ghost. I have to apologize in advance. English is my third language, and my writing and grammar might not be quite as good as I would like them to be. I'm European, now living in Chicago, but in the early 90s, I lived in England as an au pair for 3 years. I lived in Braeburn in Hertfordshire, and I apologize for butchering the names of your towns. It's a small town with a population a little over 10,000. I took night classes to improve my English, and the school I went to was in another town, so I had to take the train. The train station was about a mile and a half away from where I lived, and having had no car, I usually walked to the station. The last part of me took me to the very edge of the town. There was a narrow river like a brook, flanked by the gravel road on one side that I took the train to the station, and the big meadow on the other side. The nearest house probably 300 or 400 yards away. At the end of the gravel road was an old cemetery, and then the train station right after that. I personally love cemeteries, especially old ones, and I still own boxes and boxes of English and Irish cemetery photos that I took while living there. They never scared me, although sometimes I might feel uneasy, but nothing truly freaked me out. The tiny cemetery in Braeburn, I'm guessing here, but there could not have been more than 100 graves, is very old. Nobody's been buried there for well over 100 years. It's unkept, weeds growing over the graves, headstones leaning and cracking, the engraved names and dates licked off by time and weather. On only a few headstones, one can see that the graves are from the 19th century, with one or two bearing the dates 1901 or 1902. There's also an old chapel there, but the doors are always locked and there's a chain with a lock on it. There's another cemetery that's newer and is in use to this day, but I believe it is in a town of Hodderson, which is a couple miles away from Braeburn. This particular evening, I was walking towards the train. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. Must have been spring or autumn because it was still light, but I remember it being a chilly day. As I was walking past the cemetery, I found it very odd that an old woman was kneeling on one of the graves and sobbing. She sounded inconsolable, as if the person she was crying over had just died and been buried. The fact that this cemetery is so old made this fact quite strange. As I was walking past the cemetery, suddenly I saw a big dog sitting directly behind her, and I assumed the dog belonged to her. It was an Irish wolfhound, and the reason I remember this dog so vividly is that my family owned an Irish wolfhound as well, and I missed him terribly when living in England. I've always been terribly shy, would not simply go up to strangers and talk to them. I did not make much conversation, even with people that I knew. But this situation simply compelled me to go and talk to the woman. Her crying was heartbreaking, and I wanted to meet the beautiful dog behind her. I approached her, and she was clearly startled by my presence. Her eyes got big, and she stopped crying, although her face was wet with tears. "What do you want?" she asked rudely, and I pointed to where this dog sat only a few seconds ago and started asking about it. When I turned, the dog was not there. Even though the cemetery is small, there's absolutely no way the dog could have left without anybody noticing. "What is it?" the woman asked again, clearly very irritated. I asked her if she was fine and explained that I wanted to meet her dog. "What dog?" she asked. The more I tried to explain, the more irritated she became, and eventually she stood up and started yelling, although not a soul was near enough to hear. I became embarrassed and even frightened, so I simply turned around and hurried on my way. She kept yelling after me for a while. Some 5 hours later, I was on my way back home, and as I passed the cemetery, there was no sign of the woman or the dog. I do not know if this was all my imagination, but I could clearly smell what I can only describe as wet fur. Sometimes my own dogs run into Lake Michigan in Chicago, and when we come home, they smell terribly. This was a smell I was noticing at the time. When I got home, I was so distressed over what happened, I told the woman whose children I looked after what had happened. She didn't seem alarmed, but did appear concerned. She explained about the local legend that I've never heard of before. Apparently, right before World War II, there was a man in town who was an abusive husband and father. He got into a bad crowd, began drinking, stealing, and a bad reputation in general. One day, he brought home an Irish wolfhound puppy that he loved more than life itself. The dog ate with him, slept with him, obeyed unquestionably. All the while, the man's wife and daughter were neglected and even abused by the man. The two women absolutely hated the dog. One day, the argument between the man and his wife went too far, and he started beating her terribly outside the house in the yard while his little daughter watched from the window. Suddenly, the dog attacked the man, biting and ripping his flesh. According to the local legend, the man died that same night. The dog severed his main artery. Before that happened, the man defended himself by hitting the dog with a wooden log and had beaten the dog to death. The two women, now grateful to the dog for help, cared for the dog for days, but it never recovered and soon died from the injuries inflicted by its beloved owner. The legend goes that the dog sometimes follows women as if to protect them. The women followed never see the dog, only passerby sometimes do, like it happened in my case. When I asked who the woman had been that cried at the old cemetery, I was told that she is simply the village idiot, an old woman whose mind cracked years ago, and she does crazy things like crying in old graves that mean nothing to her. I never, ever took that road to the train station again. I found an alternative route, and I try to keep it. I don't know what to make of all this, but I know what I saw, and I'm pretty certain there is something to that local legend about the ghost dog. Love your show. You make my long commute each day to and from work shorter. Interesting story. What's your thoughts on all that?
Ghost dog, nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and again, she's over in in England and the old stories and stuff like that. I mean, it's a great story, whether or not like the legend was true. Mm-hmm. Somehow it tied into what she experienced that night. My question about the old woman sitting there, people call her the village idiot, whatever. Can you imagine? Maybe the woman had like some sort of like abilities, and like she could go to a grave and like see people's lives or feel their energy or something like that.
Yeah.
I always wonder about people who are looked at as weird or slow or different or crazy. Mm-hmm. And just wonder what they're really experiencing in their mind. And if it's really crazy or if it's something else.
You know, I agree. I mean, there's times where you wonder about that. And I've thought that exact same thing many times. Obviously, there's, you know, mental disorders and such. But there's times where it's like, is this person seeing something like true? I mean, are they picking up on something that's not a product of the mental disorder? You know, that there's something else that they're sensing, and it's just that real to them. And I don't know, it's definitely, a deeper one to think about. Thanks for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a phone call. Hi.
Hello, my name's Dana. I'm calling in again. I called in once before, told a bunch of stories about my sister. And I got two stories that I'm going to tell you now. So the first one's kind of short. And it's kind of happened recently. So I'm not really a sensitive person. My sister's the sensitive one, and I don't really have that much of like an intuition, you could call it. But recently, my crazy dreams, because usually I have like nonsense dreams, like I'm a superhero fighting a giant armadillo type dreams. But anyways, recently those dreams have become like realistic, things that could actually happen. And the first dream was my friend, I kept dreaming that they were crying, and this happened consistently a couple nights. And so finally, after a few nights of me just watching them cry in my dreams and waking up feeling so heartbroken, I reached out to them, and apparently they've been being really discriminated against at work, and people have been being horribly mean to them. And so there's that one. And then the second one was a couple weeks ago, I had a dream that my best friend's brother was going to become a dad, and not just any dad, a girl dad. And he's engaged, but he's not planning. They haven't talked about it, but I get a call from my best friend about a week after I have that dream. And she tells me, hey, Connor, her brother, is going to be a dad in a month. Beth, his fiance, is giving birth to a girl. Isn't that cool? Man, if I could have prophetic dreams that were good news like that all the time, it'd be great. So the next story is a little bit of a longer one and a little bit of a creepy one. So it starts out, I'm coming home from work one day. I have three loving pets that always greet me at the door, a dog and two cats. And cats will usually do what cats do, which they'll yowl at me, they'll walk between my legs, and they'll just be super adorable. Well, anyways, I come home one day, and they're getting ready to do that, but then they just stop in their tracks, and they look at me. And the one cat is like, no, I hate you. Why are you here? And then they hiss and run away. And the other cat kind of takes a couple steps closer to me and then hisses and runs off. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And so I pet my dog because nothing's wrong with her. And I thought the cats just had bugs up their butt about something. And so I continue my day. But every time I get close to them, they would hiss at me and run away. And so the next day, I'm talking to my friend and he's telling me, okay, come over and I'll draw a few cards, meaning he'd read my tarot, right? And so I go over to his place and he pulls some cards for me. And the first card is, there's a masculine energy around you. Like, okay, well, my dad's been around a lot more and my fiance has been around a lot more because they've been working from home. So that could track. But then the next one, he pulls a card and he just makes a darn face. Okay, what is it? What's the face for? I ask him. Then he pulls another card, and he makes even more of a face. And I'm just starting to die inside and freak out, going, what's wrong? Why are you making these faces? What does it say? Because the last time he did this, it happened. It said, a man in your life is going to take the next step, and you're going to get a better job, all of which happened. My boyfriend is now my fiancé, and a terrible job I was in changed to a really good job. So I'm like, oh my God, something bad. Oh my God, what's happening? And he's just making darn faces. And so finally he says something, and he says, the masculine energy around you is going to bring you nothing but sadness. And I'm like, what? What? What does that mean? Is this why my cats hate me? And he continues and says, this masculine energy that's going to cause you nothing but sadness came around from a place you were at. And I'm like, I don't go anywhere but work or home. Like, how could I have picked it up from work? I work at a grocery store. What? And he told me, he's like, I don't know, I just pull the cards. And so I go home and I decide, okay, I'm going to try and get rid of this on my own. And I light some candles, I say a prayer, and I smudge my entire house. Usually this helps a bit whenever there's like some stuff going on, but my cat still hated me. I didn't know why. Still. I was like, oh, this should have gotten rid of it. So I'm complaining to another friend, and she's really Catholic. And she's like, okay, here, why don't you wear this? And she gave me this like St. Mary's medal that she was given, I guess, I'm not sure what it was, but it was about like an inch big, and it just had the vigid, I mean, that's St. Mary, Mother Mary, the visions of Mary on it. And so I wore it, and she said, wear this and it should help. Okay, well, I started breaking out where it would sit on my chest after a couple days. And I have some metal sensitivities. And so I told her, I'm like, I think I'm allergic to this. And she's like, no, that's like true silver. That shouldn't cause you an issue. Because the only metals that don't cause me problems are silver and gold. Like true blue, silver, and gold. And she's like, it shouldn't cause you any problem. So I gave it back to her. And I gave fresh... Still, my cats, my loving, beautiful, wonderful cats, hate me. And the initial friend, the one that drew my cards, was like, fine, I'm going to take care of this. So we plan a day to get together. And once again, he's just doing his thing, not telling me what he's going to do until I finally get upset and like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm like, okay. So he tells me, stand by the door, because he opens all of my windows, all of my doors, everything. And he puts down a black candle. He puts down a white candle. He lights, excuse me, he lights some incense. And he starts to pray. He invokes this and that and calls for protection. And all while spraying me with this mixture of water and certain herbs and stuff like that. And I start getting nauseous. I start feeling really tired and nauseated and just awful. And he warned me that this could cause me to become a little bit dizzy because, like, dispersing of energy, it's happened before. And I'm like, okay, well, am I supposed to get nauseous? And he's not answering me. Again! And I'm just getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. Not necessarily because he's not answering me, but because he keeps spraying me and I feel sick and I just want to throw up. And finally it's over. He's done praying. There's a big gust of wind for some reason. And there's just a bunch more smoke than there was originally. But he says, we're done. Okay. All right, that's great. I'm going to go get sick now. So I run to the bathroom, I get sick, and I come back out, and I sit down, and my one cat comes and sits on my lap. It's always the cat that whenever I'm sad or upset,
or feeling sick will just come and sit and cuddle with me, but he hasn't been this entire time. And so when he came and he sat on my lap, I just started bawling my eyes out. Because whatever my friend did worked. And my cats loved me again. Well, if you play this on the show, thanks. Y'all are great. You're super cool. Hi, Carol. If not, later.
I have to say... And somehow Billy Ocean starts playing at random. Now, that was scary. So I have to say, probably one of the most animated calls I think we've had.
There was pretty much everything that could happen in that whole thing. Sounds like she had some sort of attachment hanging on to her. Not sure where she picked that up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it were me, if I had cats that I was lovingly taking care of and feeding, and all of a sudden they turned their back on me, out on the street they go. I wouldn't go and try and find somebody to get rid of the spirit that's, attached itself. The cats would be out on their own.
You wouldn't be thinking demon right away. You'd be thinking new pet time.
I would just get out. That's it.
Well, let's hope the pets never have to experience that over in your land. That would be interesting. What an interesting call. What an interesting story. Thank you for sharing. I was waiting for her to be like the seven herbs and spices that she was spraying on me. I smelled like KFC. Thank you for calling that in. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, new bonus ones every week, our ebook, our audiobook. It is all there for you to binge away on ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.